In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One day, a preacher gets up into the pulpit and starts preaching. But soon, the sermon is over, and it was one of those sermons that nobody dozed off, and nobody found their minds wandering because all the people were riveted to what the preacher was saying. The reluctant preacher is finished saying what he had to say, and the focus of his message was, "Thus says the Lord, repent, turn away from your evil ways, and walk in his law." So after hearing that message, his call to repentance, what would you think of that preacher? Calls to repentance can lead to a large variety of reactions. And many of the people in the congregation that day might have responded to such a sermon with a reaction like the following. Man, what a jerk. Who does this guy think that he is? We are supposed to be in God's house, worshiping God, and here he's being abrasive and sensitive and rude? Who is he to be so judgmental about life, about my life? He needs to have more respect for this holy place in this fine city that we live in. Let's get him. Well, that's basically the same reaction that Jeremiah got from the people he was preaching to after his call to repentance was proclaimed in Jeremiah chapter 26. You heard how he went down in verse 8. When Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die." In other words, kill the preacher. Kill the preacher. True, we are a long way away from back when that incident happened thousands of years ago. And we certainly live in a different time and in a different culture. But even so, this gives us something to think about. Why were the people so ready to kill Jeremiah? How come they hated what they had just heard? Maybe it was because they were living in chaotic, uncertain times and everything was falling apart around them in those days. Maybe it was because they knew that their neighbors to the north, Israel, had already been conquered by a group of people called the Assyrians. And they were sensing that maybe they were going to be next. Or maybe they were just kind of sick and tired of listening to Jeremiah. He had preached that same message many times before. And maybe they were just tired of ignoring him. They could have gotten tired of hearing the same old warnings and the same old calls to repentance about their idolatry and how they have turned away from God. But the thing about it is that God loves them. God loves his people. And so they will hear from him. God loved them so much, in fact, that he sent a preacher to that temple in Jerusalem to preach to them what God wanted them to hear. Jeremiah is not speaking for himself or, you know, giving his own opinions about people. He is preaching what God had told him to say. Jeremiah said in verse 15, "For in truth the Lord sent me to you to speak all these words in your ears." It's the Lord's doing that. Jeremiah had to say those things. And God's word is God's power. It's God's words of the law that accuse and that kill. And it's God's word of promise that heals and makes us whole. But why do they get so set off like that? Well, it's because Jeremiah said they were going to end it up just like Shiloh. Jeremiah had come in with a really, really pointed sermon comparing the temple in Jerusalem with the city of Shiloh. And Shiloh was a city that now was laying in ruins. Verse 9 said, "This house," referring to the temple, "shall be like Shiloh, and this city," that is Jerusalem, "will be desolate without inhabitant." And then, of course, in verse 11, the priests and the false prophets said that, you know, Jeremiah had prophesied against this city, against Jerusalem. They were so upset that Jeremiah dared to say those things about their Jerusalem. They were not concerned with the fact that it was actually God's word. They were only concerned with the fact that Jeremiah's sermon had offended them and hurt their feelings. And Shiloh was an appropriate city for him to refer to because Shiloh was the symbol of the story of both the ancient Jews as well as us today. This false confidence and taking God for granted that sometimes we do. Shiloh was a significant city at one time. Back in the days of Joshua to the days of Samuel, the tabernacle, the tent of the meeting that God asked them to build before they built the big temple in Jerusalem, that tabernacle with the Ark of the Covenant spent a lot of time in Shiloh. That tabernacle was where God dwelt among his people. That's where the atoning blood of from the sacrifices shed for the people's forgiveness was sprinkled on the altar. It was really a really important city for God's people in the days gone past. It was a place on earth where God dwells and where God forgave sins. So what happened to Shiloh, you might ask? Well, God withdrew his presence from Shiloh because his people repeatedly ignored his word, would not repent, rebelled against him and with false worship. Unrepentant hearts again and again, year after year after year, rejecting God's call to repentance. This was talked even in Psalm 78, verses 59 and 60, that says, "When God heard, he was full of wrath, and he utterly rejected Israel. He forsook his dwelling at Shiloh, the tent where he dwelt among mankind." And just like that, Shiloh was gone. Flash forward a few hundred years to the temple in Jerusalem, where Jeremiah could just say the word Shiloh, and everybody immediately understands what he's talking about and hates him for it as he preached against their idolatries. Could that sturdy temple in Jerusalem really end up like Shiloh? Yes, and it did. The same question could be asked of us. What does people say, or what will people say years from now when they hear the name of this place, Faith Lutheran Church? We would be but one more monument to human faithlessness? Or will it still be this place where our Lord proclaims his law that brings to repentance and his gospel that forgives? When Jeremiah was preaching, the people that were hearing this message got very angry. Those angry ears heard his words of warning in verse 13. Mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, that the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. To angry ears, Jeremiah's words were not God's holy word, but they were blasphemy. They were lies. So they felt that Jeremiah deserved to die. The people didn't rally around Jeremiah's call to repentance. Instead, they rallied around the cry to kill the preacher. Now, how did Jeremiah respond to all this? Well, notice he did not offer an apology because he hurt someone's feelings. He didn't even offer a retraction. What was his defense? We have seen verses 12 and 15 that he was only speaking what God had told him to say. In verse 14, he basically told the rebellious mob to do whatever they had to do because he was not going to recant, because he spoke God's word to them. But this preacher wasn't put to death in this episode. It turned out in the verses immediately after our reading, cooler heads prevailed, but still, the people did not take God's word to heart and did not repent. And sure enough, just 22 years later, the people of Israel, the people of Jerusalem, were dragged off into captivity in Babylon. Jerusalem ended up just like Shiloh. But even though God's people were captured and taken off into exile, God's love and his mercy for them stayed. He kept sending prophets to call the people to repentance until finally comes another preacher, like Jeremiah, to Jerusalem. But this time, it was a different prophet, a different preacher. It was God in the flesh. Jesus came with the exact same call to repentance. And he came with God's desire to make his enemies into his friends. You heard God's will in Jesus' words in our gospel reading from today, from Luke chapter 13. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. It's no wonder many people identify Jesus with Jeremiah, because while Jesus was upsetting saying the things he was saying, you could see why he came. Jesus came because he longs and he loves you. Jesus longs to gather you to himself. So that's why Jesus said the very same thing he said in the gospel. Your house is forsaken. Jeremiah's words intruded into the lives of his hearers in the exact same way that Jesus' words does to ours. Both of them are calls to repentance, and both of them come up against worlds and religious institutions and societies and governments that are filled with hard hearts and false securities.
Ironically, Jeremiah and Jesus were both sentenced to die for blasphemy for their calls to repentance. But even though there are a lot of similarities between Jeremiah and Jesus, there is one really great difference. Jeremiah gives himself over to the mob, but he didn't die that day. Nor would his death have done any good to you. But God offered up his son for you. That preacher, Jesus, had to die for you. With his innocent blood, bringing life and salvation to you and to the whole world. So, today, we can kind of pity poor Jeremiah and his really bad day in the temple preaching that Jerusalem was going to end up like Shiloh. But thanks be to God that Jesus, the preacher that did die for us, still comes to God's house, still bringing his word of judgment and grace. Jesus, the preacher that did die for us, he still comes to God's house, he's still bringing his word of both judgment and grace. He continues to send his prophets to us today to preach his word of repentance and forgiveness, so we can stand firm in the Lord Jesus with our eyes fixed on him, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus is the true temple in the holy place of God in the flesh, the place on earth with God's mercy and forgiveness for you. Jesus was forsaken on the cross. He was left desolate, crucified, dead and buried, but raised on the third day for you. Jesus is the preacher for you. In his name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.